The Bible says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even unto death. Overcomers. Hallelujah. So what we're going to do today, to start out our message, is this is going to be an interactive message. So I want you to participate right off the very beginning. And we don't want to hear your life story, starting back somewhere in 1920, when you got your big toe cut off with an axe or something like that. Because God is, that's a great story, and it should go down in memoir somewhere. But God is a God whose mercies are new every morning. His faithfulness never fails. His compassions are new. And so what we want to do is we want one-word testimonies. Not a sentence, not a paragraph, not an hour. We want one-word testimonies. This is Thanksgiving Sunday. What are you thankful for today? Okay, so who's going to be first? Now, listen, you've got to understand something. I don't mind looking like a fool for Jesus' sake. And if so nobody says anything, I'm just going to stand here. You got something to thank Jesus for today in one word? Okay, shut it up.
Food.
Oh, let me shut it out so everybody can hear it.
Food.
Salvation.
Victory.
Amen. Any more? That's it? You ran out already?
Grace.
Jesus, okay, yeah. All right, now I had trouble hearing some of those things because my hearing is failing just a little bit, but I'm sure they were all wonderful and good and honoring to God. And I want to tell you something. That the reason that when it was greeting time, the reason I didn't come way, like, all the way back there is because it's so far back there. And all you folks are way back there. Like, what's the deal? Like, this is the spot where the glory comes out. So you gotta find a place near the front, folks. I heard Lauren McAllister, our former district superintendent, say one time that, did you know that every row back that you sit, you have that many more distractions in front of you? Good point, isn't it? So when you're sitting here, it's just you, the preacher, God, and His Word. So don't forget that. There's nothing special comfortable about those back seats, folks. These are great seats, too. And you need to find your place here. And then the pastor won't be worn out just saying the greeting for you because he had to walk so far. Amen. Well, popcorn testimonies. Praise God. What I didn't hear, I don't think I did hear anyway, was I thank God for the fact that I'm absolutely discouraged today. Because when I'm discouraged, I know that He's my glory and the lifter. I don't remember hearing anybody say, trials! I thank God for trials. Trials only came to make me strong. So we tend to always think on the positive side of things, and that's good. But I want to speak on that in just a moment. Before I do that, I want you all to stand one more time. And if you hit the chord of G, I want us to sing the doxology together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all people here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now you can do a whole lot better. Doxology before in your entire life. Let me hear it, see your hand. That's nobody. Zero. So everybody knows the doxology. I want to hear you sing it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Hallelujah. I was just glancing over your survey for our new pastor. Good. Hope you fill it out. I hope you fill out the other part. You know, I don't want you to get too sophisticated. How would you like Peter or James or John for your pastor? You'd be okay with that? If Pastor Peter came to be your pastor? Well, I remember when they looked at Peter and James and John, they said, these are unlearned men. They're ignorant. They're fishermen from Galilee. What do they know? But they marvel that they spoke the word of God with authority and power, with signs following. So I hope in the other there you put, we want our pastor to be a worshiper, a prayer, a God-fearing man or woman of God. We want him to be a Bible-believing, preaching machine. We want him to be a devil, a sin-hating, Holy Ghost-filled, tongues-talking man of God, a woman of God. That's what we want. Don't forget to put that in the other. Because if you put that in the other, then all that other stuff's going to look after itself. Just a little bit of a word from an old guy to a congregation seeking a new pastor. You want a man of God, a woman of God, whoever you choose. That's what we need. That's what we need. Praise God. Well, I'm going to be preaching this morning from 1 Thessalonians 5. And there's three verses there that I want to mention. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Jesus, be with us as we open your word. Teach us from your word today. Help us to be receptive and not resistant. Lord, I pray that the messenger that's come to deliver today might be hidden behind the message. And that the message might be anointed by the Holy Ghost. And might go right to the very center of our heart. We don't need to hear words. We need to hear your word. So, Father, come and teach us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice evermore. Don't go around looking like you've been baptized in pickle juice. That's my version. That's my paraphrase. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. In other words, live your life in an attitude of prayer, always cognizant of the fact that you are in Christ and Christ is in you. Amen. You know, I am really not intimidated by people saying amen. And I look out here and I see some color. Then I'm used to color hollering, praise God, amen, preacher, pastor, you can do better. So don't, you're not going to intimidate me, folks. All right? Praise God. Pray without ceasing. And then verse number 18, and that's the one we're going to concentrate on today, because it's Thanksgiving Sunday. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And I looked up the meaning of that word everything in the Greek, because I like to make sure that I'm right on target. And this is a profound thing. I hope you're taking notes today, because this is the Greek word pas, pi, alpha, sigma. And this is what it means. Are you ready for this? This is so exciting. It means everything. Everything. Thank you in everything. The question that I've been asked more than any other in the years of my pastoral ministry is this: Pastor, what is God's will for my life? And somehow people expect me to speak prophetically into their life like some sort of spiritual astrologer and expose their future to them. I'm sorry, I'm not into that. I'm not into astrology. The will of God concerning you is clear. It's succinct. It's articulate. It's absolute. It's complete. It's not a mystery. And it's found right here in these three sentences. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Say these words. Concerning me. Concerning me. Don't make a mystery out of something that's not a mystery. Don't seek the prophetic for something that is absolutely and entirely clear. Don't skip over 1 Thessalonians 5 in your devotional reading, looking for something deeper. Because today is Thanksgiving Sunday 2015. I want to camp for a few minutes on verse number 18. Thankfulness. Thankfulness is not a matter of being polite or a matter of etiquette. Not a weekend in October with turkey and sweet potatoes, but it's the very essence of God's will for your life and for mine. And I frequently meet believers, and I even meet Christian leaders, and I walk away from that encounter saying, if I were an unbeliever, I certainly wouldn't be attracted to the gospel through that conversation. Pessimistic, depressing, grouchy, and ungrateful. No, I don't need that kind of religion. I already have enough problems of my own. Thank you very much. Have you ever heard this saying? My mom used to use it. She said, well, we should be thankful for small mercies. What exactly is a small mercy? I woke up this morning and most of my body parts worked. I'm 64 years old today. Happy birthday to me. That's no small mercy. That's no small mercy. I stumbled out of bed. I groped my way to the kitchen table. And my wife of 42 plus years, that's no mercy. That's small mercy. My wife of 42 plus years had coffee, that divine morning nectar, and toast waiting for me. There were Keurig pods for the coffee pot, and there was bread in the pantry. That wasn't a small mercy. And when I was finally able to focus, I remembered who I am. I'm a blood-washed son of the Almighty God of heaven. My past is gone. My present is good. My future is glory. That is certainly no small mercy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because small things amuse small minds, I calculated the number of days I've lived. That brings me to my 64th birthday. I've lived 23,276 days. 23,276 days. Now, I thought what I would do this morning is I would go day by day through my life, and I would enumerate the mercies of God each day that I have lived. Now, it's going to take some time because there's 23,276 points in my message today. Relax. I'm not going to do that. But we do read in Lamentations that God's mercies are new every morning. And I have 23,276 mornings behind me to thank Him for His mercies. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions today. Are you aware of the daily mercies of God in your life? And secondly, what does God require in return for those mercies? 10 lepers came to Jesus asking for a healing. You probably know the story. And because He's a merciful Savior, He had compassion on them. And He spoke the word of healing to those outcasts. And as they left His presence, the Bible says, they were made whole as they went on their way. Christ had performed an amazing miracle. The outcast was brought back into society. The shun was now received and accepted. The disease which would rot away their flesh was now healed, and their skin was again like the skin of a child. Sometime later, a solitary figure was seen approaching Jesus. And as that figure drew near, it was possible to identify him as one of those lepers who had been healed. And he said, I've come back to thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in my life. And Jesus received his thanks, and then you can almost read the pathos, the sadness in the heart of Jesus, and you can hear that sadness in his voice when he says, wasn't there 10? Wasn't there 10 of you fellows? Where are the other 9? You say, Pastor Al, how could those men be so ungrateful? Imagine that. How could they be so ungrateful? They could be that ungrateful in exactly the same way which we, as the partakers of the manifold grace of God, can be ungrateful by simply taking it for granted. Taking it for granted. Even perhaps seeing it as deserving. Even in the miracle of grace, we can sometimes find opportunities to complain about our lot in life. In everything, give thanks. Now, I love the wording there. It says, in everything, give thanks. It doesn't say, for everything, give thanks. There are some things that have occurred in my life that I'm not particularly thankful for. And I don't want to repeat them. Thank you very much. But in those circumstances, I can say, thank you, Jesus. You were there. Your mercies were new. Your faithfulness was great. Your compassions didn't fail. When there's more month than there is money, when my body is frail and it's failing, when my marriage is in a mess and my kids are unruly, when I've been betrayed by someone and my heart is broken, when I've been laid off from my job or my business is spiraling downward, when I've said a sad goodbye to the dearest friend that I've had on earth, when I look at my life and I realize that there's a lot more days behind me here on earth than there are ahead of me, when every day things are simply sailing along, there's no peaks or no valleys, no high points, and no big hassles, it seems to me that the word everything covers all of that. I'm so glad that Paul said in everything. Dr. Alexander White was famous for his pulpit prayers of thanksgiving, even in the midst of bad times. And one very stormy Sunday morning, there was a destructive gale force wind blowing across Scotland, probably even stronger than the one outside today. And the people thought, well, the preacher will have nothing to thank God for on this wretched Sunday. And Dr. White rose up to pray, and this is what he said, and I quote it. He said, I thank you, Heavenly Father, that it's not always like this. I like that. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that it's not always like this. Matthew Henry was a great commentator, renowned Bible commentator, and he was stopped by thieves, and he was robbed of his wallet. And that night, he wrote in his journal these faithful words that were revealed at his memorial service. He wrote about that experience that he had that night, and he said, let me be thankful, first of all, Lord, that I was never robbed before tonight. Second, that although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. And third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I that was robbed and not I that was doing the robbing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In refusing to be thankful, you completely miss God's grand will for your life. And how tragic that is. On the dashboard of my car, I have three gauges that I watch fairly carefully. And one is a speedometer, one is a temperature gauge, the other is a gas gauge. And the continued smooth and successful performance of my automobile and my well-being as a driver as I travel thousands of kilometers around this province depends on reading those gauges. Do you want to measure your spiritual performance? Do you want to know how closely you're aligned with the expectations of the one who designed you? Check these three gauges regularly. Prayer, praise, and thankfulness. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Your personal life and the health of this assembly will be monitored by those gauges. If you ignore bad readings on any one of those three gauges, you and everyone around you will suffer the consequences. Where there's a vacuum, something rushes in to fill it. And where prayer and praise and thanksgiving are absent, the devil is waiting to infuse your soul with his substitutes, misery, selfishness, fault-finding, murmuring, gossip, criticism, and all those kinds of things that we don't need in the body of Christ. Of course, it doesn't happen here, does it? I have a sneaking suspicion that it might sneak in every once in a while. Kick that devil out the door. Also, I pray that you be in peace with one another, much as lies in you. So along the daily trail, there are all kinds of small rock items that I can be thankful for. And yes, I can be thankful for my trials. To tell you stories today, I don't have time, but I can tell you stories that would move your heart, I'm sure, about some of the deepest, darkest times of life, when in the middle of that we didn't understand what we were facing or what we were going through. But looking at it and doing a post-mortem on that experience, realize that in those times God is more precious to you than any other time. More faithful, where you see his faithfulness clearer than at any other time. These small rock items are too numerous to mention. There are things we often take totally for granted, and sometimes are things that we even resent. But if we believe that song that we sing, "He ain't not done me nothing but good," each and every one of those things is a gift from a good God who has our best interest carved into the palm of his hands. Not because I only have till 3 o'clock this afternoon to preach. I want to tell you that thankfulness in the everyday little things will not happen unless and until you have an understanding and appreciation for a few of the big rock items. And every time I meet a sourpuss Christian, I soon discover that thankfulness for these three things that I'm going to share today has somehow been forgotten. It's been mentioned a couple of times here today as we worship, by the way. Somehow this has been abandoned. Somehow this has been buried beneath the weight of the world that we live in. And the first thing is this: thankful for life. And God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and God and man became a living soul. Now, the word breath in Hebrew is ruah. The word in Greek is pneuma. It means spirit breath. You live in and you breathe today distinct from all other life forms, because only the human being created in the image of God is propelled into life by the very spirit breath of the Creator. You're not a dog. You're not a donkey. You're not a dinosaur. How many of you breathe today? Oh, some of you haven't. I feel sorry for you. We will have a funeral service immediately following this one. How many of you bothered counting the breaths that you've taken today? Well, I haven't done that either. How many of you stayed awake all night last night to be sure you didn't quit breathing? I don't see any hands. When my youngest son, Jason, some of you know him, was about 5 years of age, my wife found a piece of paper on which he had written his daily agenda. Put on the top, "Jason Downey, my daily agenda. My schedule today is: number one, inhale. Number two, exhale. Number three, inhale. Number four, exhale. Number five, inhale. Number six, exhale." How many of you understand and realize that every time you inhale, you are taking in not only natural oxygen, you are inhaling the very divine breath of God. And every time you exhale, you are exhaling the very divine breath of God. The first squalling breath you took when you came into the world and the doctor smacked you on the rump, to your very last breath you will take, because we'll have party at the church and we'll eat potato salad and open-faced buns in your memory. But every breath you've taken, from the start to the finish, is a gift from the Spirit of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Life. David says in Psalm 150, verse 6, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Jesus said as he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, if these people don't cry out, the very stones are going to praise. I don't want any inanimate stone crying out on my behalf. I tell you, if stones cried out the praise of God, would we have ever had a glory meeting back in Saskatchewan where I came from? There's nothing but rocks there. When is the last time we didn't focus in on our aches and pains and our dwindling bank account and our inattentive spouse and our rotten lot in life? When's the last time we stopped to simply thank him for the gift of the Spirit of life that's been breathed into us? But oh, Pastor, if you only knew what I don't start with me. Or I'm going to take you today on a trip to the Syrian refugee camp and show you what life's really all about. My eldest son and I were in Europe in August. We were doing a personal World War II tour, and we visited three former concentration camps, and we were in Auschwitz in Poland, and this was the third camp. It was unbearably hot. It was 38 degrees. 38 degrees to a Canadian is like, 75 degrees to an African. And I asked my son how he was doing, and he replied, "Dad, I'm really, really hot. But after what I've been seeing today, it'd be pretty small of me to complain." Yes, Lord, it's pretty small of me to complain. I want you to stand with me for a moment. I told you it was going to be interactive. And we're going to sing a chorus. I hope you remember this, Twilight, because I don't know what key it's in. But it's a chorus that goes, I live because he is risen. You know that here? I live because he is risen. I live with power over sin. I live because he is risen. I live, oh, I live to worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because you're alive. Because you're alive. Because you're alive. I must be really, really loud this morning because it kind of seems like the only voice I can hear is my own. Are you singing loud? Well, it's just me then, but I think that we can do it one more time, okay? Let's sing it one more time, and let's give God thanks for the breath of life that he's breathed into us. And let's make a commitment in point number one of my message. Let's make a commitment in our own hearts that we'll be very careful each and every morning to thank God for the spirit breath of life that God has breathed into us. And we become a living soul that will live for all of eternity. If we know him, we'll live in his presence, ever to worship him around the great throne of glory. Thank you, Jesus. I live, oh, I live, because he is risen. I live with power over sin. I live because he is risen. I live to worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ocean depths, its flow may return for me.
or love them will not let me go. God commanded his love. Not just his eros love, not but the love of emotion, or not just filios love, the love of friendship, or not just thorpe love, the love of affection, but agape love. That the unearned, undeserved, unconditional, eternal love that will not let us go. Folks, I don't know what that does for you this morning. God commanded his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, love that will not let me go. God, who is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2:4, God who is rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. Oh, love that will not let me go. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. I can't comprehend this morning why a creator God would send his one and only sinless and perfect Son to earth to be crucified and killed in the most undignified death possible. I cannot fathom why he would do that for a rebellious, sin-contaminated person like me. How he would bear the mockery and the abuse, the humiliation and the shame on behalf of my selfish heart. I cannot begin to explain why Jesus come by my invitation into my broken life, into my sin-scarred heart, and remove my sin as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against me again. I cannot comprehend that. I cannot understand that kind of love. Oh, love that will not let me go. Love is of God. 1 John 4:8. Love is of God, for God is love. John doesn't say he's loving, although he is. Doesn't say he's lovable, although he is. John says that God is love itself. The very essence and substance of God is love. There's an unknown artist that wrote a hymn, probably in the 1950s or 60s, and it says this, the chorus says this, it says, sin stained the cross with the blood of my Lord, yet he permitted it without a word. Why? Tell me why. He redeemed you and me. Love is why you and I are free. Oh, love that will not let me go. And by my actions, I can grieve the heart of God. I can quench the work of his Spirit. I can wound him by my deliberate sinfulness and rebellion. But nothing I can do or leave undone can ever stop him from loving me. That's a hope for every sinner, isn't it? Regardless of how rebellious, how far away they may appear from God, we'll love them. You say, Pastor, if you really knew me, if you knew the kind of person I am, if you knew the kind of thoughts I have, the kind of things I do, you wouldn't tell me this morning that God loves me. Yeah, it's true. I don't know you. I don't know your life. I don't know your character. I don't know your behavior. I don't know your secret sins. But I don't have to know you. And I don't have to know all those things because I know God. For you to say that God does not, cannot, or must not love you is a great insult to the character of God. In order for God not to love you this morning, he would have to deny his own nature. It's his nature's love. You're loved by God not because you deserve to be, not because you ask to be, not because of your performance, not because of your righteousness. You're loved by God because God is love. That's as simple as that. I want us to stand again. Now, we're going to try something. I'm going to launch off into a little chorus that I picked up and I learned myself, and I hope we can hit the right key. We might learn it with the wrong tune. Who knows? Well, I'm going to ask you to stand, please. And this is a little chorus that was written in 1988 by Graham Kendrick. And can you give me a kid?
Such love, pure as the white snow. Such love weeps for the shame I know. Such love, paying the debt I owe. Oh, Jesus, such love.
Let's sing that verse again.
Such love, pure as the white snow. Such love weeps for the shame I know. Such love, paying the debt I owe. Oh, Jesus, such love.
One more time for that verse and then we'll move on.
Such love, pure as the white snow. Such love weeps for the shame I know. Such love.
Anybody say hallelujah in this place?
Hallelujah.
Oh, Thank God for love. Number three, thank God for light. Another old hymn says these words, the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory broke in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light. It's shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Because the light of the world is Jesus. It's a dark old world we live in, isn't it? I don't even want to turn the television on anymore. It's a dark old world. And we shouldn't be surprised, but it's a dark old world that's ruled by the Prince of Darkness. And his goal has been established long, long time ago to steal and to kill and destroy. And I'm sure all of you see this. I'm sure people like Brother Alan Parsar see it even more pronounced than most of us do. But each of us is often encumbered by sins that so easily beset us, by trials that test us to the limit, by sickness that weakens us, by broken relationships that crush us, by anxiety that robs us of peace. And as the day of the Lord approaches ever closer, oh, by the way, when you're looking for a new pastor, maybe in the other you could put, I want a pastor who preaches the second coming of Jesus Christ. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. Hallelujah. You want to fill out the survey? Come to my church. I'd love to. Hallelujah. Some of us have seen friends and loved ones sucked in by the devil's devices and by the devil's deceptions. But in the middle of all that, I'm here today on Thanksgiving Day, 2015, Thanksgiving Sunday, 2015. We haven't had a turkey yet. To say, in the middle of all of this, there's a light. John 8:12, Jesus made this declaration, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Our God is light, John tells us in 1 John 1:5, and in him there's no darkness at all. So instead of flipping the TV on, open your Bible and look at the God who is light, who shines brighter than any darkness could ever shine, any darkness could ever penetrate. Darkness is never held captive to light. Ever. And in the sparing of the darkness of my own sinful heart, Christ the light shines. In the desperation of my present circumstances, Christ the light shines. And in the degradation of the darkness of the world all around about me, Christ the light shines. And in the disquiet of the darkness of the uncertainty of the future, Christ the light shines. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:8, for we were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Jesus said to his disciples, and through his disciples he says to us, this very, very challenging verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. He speaks to every believer. He says, now you are the light of the world. What does that mean? It means only this, Christ in you. The hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What was it that you told me Pastor Sion did when he was just getting right into his message? You knew you were here for another hour. In 1991, I traveled first many times into the nation of Romania. What a sad place it was. I can't begin to describe the filth and the squalor and the sense of darkness and hopelessness that 50 years of communism had left in its wake in Romania. But I'll never forget, as long as I live, one visit into a building that had been designated as a hospital. It was a very old building. It was a very large building. It was literally falling to pieces. The plaster was falling off the wall. It leaked rain through the roof, and it was full of dirt and full of disease and full of dying people. And I had never to that point in my life seen such absolute darkness. There was no supplies in that nation for the living, so what could the dying hope for? The beds were old army cots, men and women crammed into the same place. The medical equipment was primitive and rusty and should have been in a garbage heap somewhere.
and I was with the pastor's son. And as we made our way down a long hall, it was a darkened hall because there really weren't any electric light bulbs available. And it was filled with the smell of mildew mixed with human excrement and all the rest. And I happened to see a lady walking down the hallway towards us. And I was amazed. Because around her, there was this halo of light. Actual light. I've never seen it since. I'm not a clairvoyant or anything like that. Just take me for what I am. There was a sense of light around about her that was visible. And it moved towards us. And I said to the pastor's son, I said, "Pastor, do you know that nurse that's coming down the hallway?" And he smiled and he said, "Yes, she's one of the ladies from our church." I'll never forget that moment. I learned in that moment that it doesn't matter how dark the darkness is, the light of Christ in believing people is always brighter. I wish we would believe that. I wish we wouldn't be intimidated by the darkness. So believers, we have these amazing promises of God's word, which itself is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Oh, thank you, Jesus. On Thanksgiving Sunday, 2015. "The way of the righteous," Proverbs 4:18, "is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day." So what God is saying to us, that, yeah, it might be getting darker out there, but the light in you is getting brighter. Yes. Hallelujah. And it'll get brighter and brighter and brighter until the day of Christ's return. Hallelujah. Can you believe that? Yes. Hallelujah. 1 John 1:7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." Then there's this ultimate promise. I love this promise. It's a glorious hope. It's when time shall be no more. When we who love the Lord will be caught up to meet him in the air, we will become residents of a new Jerusalem, a holy city that is coming down from heaven. And the word tells us, I love this, that the city has no need of the sun or the moon. For the glory of God illuminates the city and the Lamb is its light. Revelation 21:23. There's coming a day, folks. I believe it's coming before long when we will dwell in the fullness of that divine light forever. Doesn't that stoke your fire? Man, if it doesn't stoke your fire, your wood is horribly wet. Oh, hallelujah. Forever in the presence of his glory, whom we surrendered our lives to serve. Light from my heart, light from my path, light from my future. Are you ready for that day? You know Jesus, who is life and love and light? Have you asked him to forgive your sins? Have you asked him to become Lord of your life? Shine your light, his light into your heart. If I were you, I wouldn't let one more minute go by if you don't know Jesus. If you're here and you don't know Jesus. The Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord is saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. No one need walk out of this sanctuary auditorium this morning with any doubt in their mind or their heart that they're saved. That's what it requires. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I realize I've made a significant mess of my life. Would you come over? Would you take over? Would you become my Savior, my Lord? As I look across this congregation, I'm sure that most of you, if not all of you, have prayed that prayer, but I don't want to take it for granted that you have. But today's your day. Now's the exact time. Now's the day of salvation. You may have come in here saying, "No hope for me. My life's a mess. All messed up." Yeah, there's hope for you. Because he's breathed his life into you. Divine life. Because
love will never let you go. Because Jesus Christ is the light of the world. I can understand on Thanksgiving weekend 2015 why those without God and without hope have little to be thankful for. And why the hearts of so many are failing for fear. But to those who know Christ and walk with Him, there should bubble up from within their innermost being a thankfulness that just simply cannot be contained. When this young man that leads worship here, when he says, come on, let loose, let's worship Jesus. Don't stand there like a fence post. Dear God, learn to dance now so you're good at it when you get to heaven. And there'll be a lot of it happening. Did you know something? You better learn to sing well now, because you're going to have competition when you get to heaven. There's going to be some real black folks there. You know how to move. Boogie. Hallelujah. Like I try. I never can quite get the rhythm, you know? I do my best. Best that these 64-year-old bones will allow me to do. Did you know that as you sing and worship God, did you know this? It's in the Bible. Zephaniah 3:17. Did you know that as you sing and worship God, that God, your heavenly Father, sings over you? Oh. Could you imagine the song of God over you? The Bible says He sings over you with rejoicing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I might be walking through the trenches in life, slogging through the mud, but in the middle of all that, my God, looking down upon my heart and my desire to serve Him, sings over me with rejoicing. Someday I'm going to be in His presence. I'm going to hear for myself firsthand what that song sounds like. And in some ways, folks, I can't wait. I can't wait. So the world has a lot to offer, but we hang up it so tightly. But soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah. Now I want us to go out of here today with a little bit of movement. So I'm not going to ask you to sing this, because I can't sing it myself. It's again fairly new to me, but I think it's a wonderful song. And this is by that Christian artist, sort of along the line of Fanny Crosby. Her name is Yolanda Adams, and it's sort of accentuated and helped along by that very, very quiet and sedate young man called T-Bone, who happens to be a rapper. And so would you stand, please, and just enjoy this. And I hope this computer works. We were having a little trouble earlier on, but there she is, Yolanda Adams and T-Bone. Crank it. And Lord, we are thankful today. And Lord, make us truly thankful. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless your name. We bless your name. We thank you for the life breath that you breathed into us so that we could be called children of the Most High God. We thank you, Lord God, for the love that never fails, the love that is expressed to us in so many ways. Father, make us truly thankful in everything. Thank you for the light that came into our world, our dark world, and made it possible for us to be reconciled to God, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation that we might lead others to the light as well. So, Father, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, 2015, we're so thankful. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and communion of his Holy Spirit rest and abide upon each one of you in each moment of each day of your life until Jesus comes, until we meet again in this place of fellowship to glorify him one more time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Folks, it's been an incredible honor for me to come back to New Hope and share with you today. And I trust that God has blessed you through the worship and the singing. And I know this of a certainty. As you seek the face of God diligently, not just talk about it, but actually do it, that God will provide the man and his wife, the woman, whoever it is that God has, because God has already prepared that person for his role as your shepherd. I have every confidence that that person will come, but it'll come because you pray. So find the place of prayer, find it often, find it sincere, and pray your heart out, and God will honor that. And you'll be blessed as a congregation and move ahead in all of those objectives that I saw written up on the PowerPoint today. Is that okay? Why don't you just share some love with one another as you're leaving today and say, I'm so thankful.